I started to share this word in Encounter recently, but God kind of enlarged what I was seeing. And it fits in with this theme that we're having right now that Dave's doing. And it's a theme that I don't know whether you've realised we've been on as a church for quite some time. It's all about having an intimate relationship with Jesus, with God. And God is taking us through a season to change the way we relate to him. Because what is coming, we will not be able to cope with unless we have that intimate relationship with him. Because revival is coming. And we know someone who's not going to take that lying down. And it's the church that needs to arise and see the kingdom come into practice. And part of that, well, the essential part of that is your relationship with Father. Everything comes from that. The way that you minister, the way that you serve, the way that you see life, the way that you speak, the way that you act, it comes from that intimate relationship that you have with Father. And many Christians have a problem with it. It's not a surprise to me that it's the one area, that relationship with him, that prayer life with him, that being in his presence that we find so difficult. Why do you think that is? Because there's someone who has a motive to stop us being that close to him. Because the enemy knows when we connect with a Father and we understand not only our love for him, but his love for us, then we're going to live more confidently, more in faith, and more fruitfully as we serve him. So it all hinges on how close you are with God. Amen? And it's something that we need to look at. And I believe if you take what I'm going to say tonight into your heart, not just your mind, it will give you a confidence that you've never had before. It will open up new doors. It will give you a walk with him that will be more fruitful than you've known for a long time. Amen? You up for that? It's going to cost you. But if you're up for it, we'll go for it. See, for any effective service we have for God or ministry, the first thing you need to know is your identity and status in him. Identity is very important to us. And one of the reasons why we don't connect in such a close way with God is that we are always got this thing in the back of our mind. What does he think about me? You know, have I done this right? I don't want to do something wrong. And there's something in us that still sees God as a kind of strict headmaster who is watching over everything that we do. And nothing more could be far from the truth. And we need to change our thinking completely. Amen? Because if you know what God thinks about you, see, we can express what we think about him. We can say we love him. But what do you really think in your heart? How does heaven know you? How does your Father see you? It's a question you need to answer. Because if there's anything negative in that, you're not living the kingdom life that God wants you to live. It's about being secure in why you were created and who you are in Him. You've been created to bring in His kingdom. The only way we're going to bring in His kingdom and share love and power with other people is if we're confident in what God sees in us, that we can actually do it. Not because we have anything that makes us special, but everything comes from Him. And if there's nothing between me and Him, then we have the full freedom to be who He created us to be. So what this series Dave is doing is actually hitting at the very heart of the future of this church. What's that? Someone don't want me to preach this. Amen. There you go.
I thought it was God for me.
Yeah, that's a thought, Dave. Yeah, so if we can get this into us, it is the most crucial thing we can do. Because it will make you fruitful. It will make you successful in Him. See, Jesus only did what He saw His Father doing because He knew what His Father was saying and doing. There was nothing between them. So He was totally successful in everything He put His hand to. He didn't waste His time on stuff that God hadn't told Him to do. And He did it with the authority of heaven itself. And you can move in the same way if you get hold of it. So how does your Father see you? Turn to the book of Daniel. Just three references. One in Daniel 9, two in Daniel 10. Daniel is in crisis. He's crying out to God for a breakthrough for Jerusalem. So he's deep in prayer and intercession. He needs God's help and wisdom. Suddenly, the angel Gabriel appears, sent to answer his prayers. But before he says anything about the prayers, he says something that is the key to what I'm speaking about tonight. Daniel 9, verse 23. O Daniel, Gabriel says, at the beginning of your supplications, at the very start of you praying, the command went out, and I have come. Why had he come? The first thing he says to Daniel is, you are greatly beloved. You are greatly beloved. That's what God thought of him. And that's what God thinks of you. If you want to know tonight what God thinks of you, he doesn't think of you as a rotten old sinner, or someone who's struggling, or someone who's needy. He sees you as his beloved. Wow. Get it into your heart. because it will change your life. Daniel 10, verse 11. Same again. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright for what I've been sent to you for. Again, man greatly beloved. And then Daniel 10, verse 19. He said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. If you need God to come and answer your prayers, what would give you the most confidence that your prayers are going to be answered? If God said to you, David, greatly beloved, that would tell David that, hey, everything's okay. God sees me as his beloved. Therefore, he's going to answer my prayers. It will revolutionize your prayer life. If you understand how much you are considered as his beloved. The Hebrew word, beloved, shemda, it means that which is desirable, pleasant and precious. It's used of precious jewels. It means treasured, prized, esteemed. That's what God thinks of you. Amen? So why are you reticent to spend time with him? He's not judging you. He's not waiting for you to make the next mistake. He's not some distant God. He's there waiting for you in that secret place to talk to you, to tell you, hey, Brian, you're beloved. What are we going to do together today? Because that's the crux. We have been called to bring in the kingdom. We have been called to work together with God and the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel message into this world. You're a co-worker and you're beloved. And he doesn't come to you as some guy with a stick who's going to whop you every time you make a mistake. He comes to you as a loving father. And together you work it out. Together you go and you do things. And you say things and you see things change. We all need strength, wisdom to do what God has told you to do. And you only find it if you pray and minister, knowing the worth God puts on you. You have worth in his eyes. We don't see ourselves like that so often. Only appreciate the fullness of that if you have intimate relationship with the Father. You are desired. You are known. You are his beloved. Get it into here. It will revolutionize you. Think of this. In your worst condition, God placed value on you. At your very worst, deep in sin, lost in sin, God saw worth in you. So much worth, he sent his son to die on a cross that you might have life and a relationship with him. You can't get any more worth than that. So how dare you say, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I haven't got the gift or the talent. You've got God's worth. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We need to wake up to these things. Knowing this will make a tremendous difference to your serving him. This is the heart of your identity. You are beloved to him. And when you run and serve as his beloved, then it's emblazed on your forehead. It changes the very way you run. If you know you run as his beloved, it changes the way you run. See, most Christians run hesitantly, trying to please him. Run with the blazing worth of his Spirit upon you. And know what he thinks about you. You are secure in his love. You're not striving to please or to be accepted or the approval of God or others. It's not about that. So many Christians spend their time worrying, trying to prove their worth to God. Trying to please him. Leaders are the worst at this. So many leaders are insecure. They've got churches to run. And so they're trying all the time to be a successful church leader. They want their church to grow. They want their church to be successful. And it motivates them. Instead of knowing that they're already loved, they're already secure. God is building his church, and we can relax in that. If you trip up, you can get up. You run without fear. Your focus is on the one who loves you. You are running as his beloved. Do you get the message? You not only are his beloved, you walk and run as his beloved. Everything you do as his beloved. Therefore, he's interested in everything you're involved in. Hebrews 12:1-2. Let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let's throw off those negative thoughts. Let's throw off that attitude that you're reticent to meet with God because you wonder whether you're good enough or you've done something wrong. He'll soon tell you if you have. It's part of the relationship. Relax. And enjoy being his beloved. I want to give you very quickly some benefits of running as his beloved. So you can either run as someone who's a Christian, who's accepted your salvation, and you can run with a kind of occasional relationship with Father, and you can kind of make your own decisions, and you can play safe, and you can stay in your comfort zone, or you can run as his beloved. If you run as his beloved, you run with complete faith, with confidence, with ability, his ability. Running as his beloved removes fear. Dave's been on about fear. If you want to remove fear from your life, know you're his beloved. Because if you're his beloved, you've got nothing to fear. If the creator of the universe loves you and runs with you, what are you going to be afraid of? Absolutely nothing. No matter what is happening, you know your Father loves you. You receive his assurance and his comfort. Psalm 23:4, well known to all of us. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. If you're in God's heart, you're invincible. It's only when you step outside, you may be in trouble. Secondly, running as his beloved will give you rest. A blessing of running as his beloved is that you can find a place of rest in him. Jesus knew that secret. Everything he did was from a place of rest. So often you find him just alone with his Father, and then the ministry starts. It comes out of that relationship, and things begin to happen. Miracles begin to happen. Why? Because he's at rest with his Father, and he's listening, and he's receiving his instructions for the day. Is that how you want to live? When you get up every day, say, Lord, what are we going to do today? What are we going to have an adventure in today? Get used to an answer, because he will answer you. It's a place where we can let down our guard. We can lay down our burdens. We can relax and lean into him. His arms and comfort will surround us. That's a place of rest. How many Christians are striving to try and do things for God out of their own strength? Rest in him. You'll be far more successful. It took me years to learn this, and I'm much happier now that I know I don't have to prove anything, because I'm beloved. Wonderful verse, Deuteronomy 33:12. Moses said about Benjamin, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. What a beautiful picture. The one who the Lord loves, the one he calls beloved, can rest between his shoulders. When the circumstances of life hit you, remember where you are. In his shoulders. Place of rest. Place of success. Thirdly, running as his beloved gives you intimacy with him. This is what Dave was speaking about. In John 13, the beloved disciple is reclining against Jesus' chest, close to his heart, privy to his secrets. The Apostle John was called beloved. He had a special relationship because he was close to Jesus. He rested on his chest. He was privy to all of Jesus' secrets. You can have that relationship with Father. It grows over time. Okay, you might not have it tomorrow, but press in. Even if you sit in silence, press in. Eventually, he will melt your heart and you will hear his voice. And the Bible will speak to you. His voice will speak to you. Your spirit will speak to you. Others will speak to you. You can have that intimacy. Knowing you are beloved empowers you to draw close to God. You are in that place of intimacy where you can hear his voice. And if you can hear his voice, your ministry will take off. Yeah? Because you'll know what to do. You won't be scratching around trying this and trying that, hoping that something works. You'll know because he'll speak it to you. Confidence. Fourthly, running as his beloved gives you courage to emerge. Song of Songs 2 verse 13 says, arise, come my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. My dove is in the cleft of the rock, in the hiding places of the mountainside. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. When you know you are beloved, you have the courage to emerge from your comfort zones and your hiding places. You have boldness to speak to your Father because you know that to him your voice is acceptable. Amen. Have you read that passage about Moses where he argues with God? When Abraham pleads with God to save a few more people? You know, when I read those things, I used to think, what a cheek. People daring to have that kind of argument with God. Don't be afraid of that. Being beloved, he expects you to question. He expects you to talk with him. He expects you to share your concern and your doubts and your fears. Get out of that comfort zone. Have an adventure with the Holy Spirit and with God your Father. Let him do new things with you. He will give you the courage to emerge, to be the person he's created you to be. Amen. Most Christians never attain to that which they were made to be. But we can. We can emerge into our purpose. Fifthly, running as his beloved leads you to restoration. Knowing you are beloved opens your heart to the experience of God's kindness. He leads you to restoration, no matter what you have done. God forgives you everything. Amen? Don't hide away when you find things difficult or where you fall into sin. Talk it through with him. Tell him all about it. He will restore your soul. Well, just out of his grace and kindness, because you're his beloved. I can't stay angry with Leslie very long because I love her. And it kind of gets worked out. Same thing with God. Jeremiah 31, verses 2 and 3. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the wilderness. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. How many times does Israel disobey God? How many times didn't they deserve to be loved? God comes and he says, I love you. My kindness is with you. And lastly, running as his beloved enables you to shine. I can see some shiny faces. Genesis 37:3 tells us that Joseph wore the ornamental coat of his father's love and favor. When you are beloved, you have the security to be yourself, to stand out, to wear your unique colors, and to shine as the unique person God has created you to be. We need to celebrate uniqueness in church. We're not all the same. We don't all believe the same. Certain things, yes, important. But you are unique. There's no one else like you. Knowing that you're beloved will enable you to be at ease being different. Be yourself. Use the gifts he's given you. Don't hold back. Because he made you like that. Praise God. So it's not just knowing that you're beloved. David was beloved. That's what his name means. But he knew he was beloved. But he also knew that he walked and he fought and he was a successful king because he walked as God's beloved. Never had any doubt that God was with him, for him, and loved him. So do me a favour, when you're getting up tomorrow, look in the mirror, and the first thing you do, say, look in the mirror and say, beloved. I am beloved. Because that's how God sees you. Amen. Do you stand or pray for you? That would be good. Father, I just want to pray this word into people's hearts and experience. That, Lord, somehow some of your mighty truth, Lord, will gain access into the very depths of our hearts, that we will never see ourselves the same again, that we will never see how you see us the same again. We will never doubt your love for us. We will never doubt your commitment to us. And Lord, we want to work together with you to see your kingdom come. Lord, release us, free us up from all of this wrong thinking that the enemy has put upon us, that we can be free to be your beloved and walk as your beloved in this needy age in which we live. And Lord, we dare to believe that if we walk as your beloved, people will notice the difference. People will notice the change in us. People will see the confidence we have. People will see the joy we have. People will see the power and authority we have. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.